Good morning. It's time now for the Tawas United Methodist Church service from Tawas City, here on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
So this is for people who would like to make a one-time gift, and And so it's a very special offering on May the 28th, which is next week. We will be sending out a letter. So the people, if you're not here, if you're out of town on Memorial Weekend, then you can still make an offering to them. Our missions committee is collecting food for the backpack program. You see the two red wagons out in the gathering space, collecting food from May 1st to September 1st. And then a couple of ways to serve in the church. Most of you are aware of this, but I thought I'd just mention it because these are urgent, critical needs in our ministry of the church. One is to operate the IT work in the balcony on Sunday mornings, Saturday nights and Sunday mornings. The main thing here is we'll teach you. Okay? We need people who are willing to learn and participate in this. And so that's very important for us to continue our online ministry. We need people to work. And then secondly, we need an information table worker. That's that table just outside the church door here. I wonder how many of you remember Pat Fisher, who did that. She's still with us, of course, but Pat kind of retired from that job after years and years and years of doing it. And Pat was one of these kinds of people who worked so hard and did so much in the church. When she stops working, you feel it, especially if you're one of the people in charge of putting on ministry. So the person who works at the information table needs to be able to greet people with a smile. They need to be concerned about who's a visitor and who's a regular attender, and they need to make people feel welcome. And we need a person doing that because visitors come to our church every Sunday, and they need to know that we love them and we welcome them. So please contact the office or me, and we'll help you get trained and active in some of these ministries. That's all the announcements I have this morning.
Let's stand and sing together. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Sacrifices of God, our broken spirit, our broken heart. I figured it out.
Let us humble ourselves before the Lord, and God will exalt us.
We will draw near to God, and God will draw near to us.
O Lord, help us through our worship to draw closer to you.
Help us to be humble and to seek you in your way.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
As we go to our time of prayer this morning, we'll begin with silent prayer and end with the Lord's Prayer, but please lift up those concerns that you have in your hearts. We all bring concerns with us to church. We have concerns in our families, concerns in our community, concerns in our nation and around the world, and let's lift these up to the Lord in our time of silent prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as the body of Christ here in our community. We give thanks and gratitude to you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for dear friends and members who are not able to come. We pray, Lord, that you make your presence known to them where they're at. Pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that you will give us an encounter with your Holy Spirit, and through your word, through the singing, through our fellowship together. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you will meet the needs of your people who cry out to you day and night all around the world for your kingdom to come and your will be done. And we lift up our society and countries around the world where there is strife, for there is a lot of strife in the world today, Lord. And ask, Lord, that in the midst of this strife, that Jesus' name will be exalted and people will turn to Christ and receive the salvation that you alone can offer. So we pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
That saved a wretch like me.
You got to give back. Will you give back? That's right, we had a car wash, didn't we?
Yeah.
Your hands are still numb. Can you give back to them? Well, Maddie's talking about the car wash weekend yesterday. And the car wash, we use, obviously, this is a sponge for washing cars. Car wash was to raise money for Vacation Bible School. Now, I don't know if you have signed up. Maybe your moms have signed you up or your grandparents have signed you up for Vacation Bible School, but I hope you do. And you know what else I hope? Well, I suppose that's an excuse you can give. But if you're here, we want you to come, and we want you to be a friend. So if you're signed up and you haven't invited a friend to come yet, just think how much more fun it would be if you invite a friend. Yeah, that's a good idea. And also, whenever you see someone like Maddie or some of the older youth who worked at the car wash, thank them. Maybe you can just give Maddie a hug or say thanks. Sometime today. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, good. I thought you did. All right. Well, why did I bring this sponge here? It's very important. Illustration, because today we're talking about the topic of having the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And I thought about a sponge talking about the mind of Christ because, yes, he did. He washed our sins away, but that's not what I'm talking about today. No, because each one of you, your minds are like a sponge. Did you know that? Your minds are like a sponge. Good answer, but that's not what I'm looking for. But everything you said was right, and I'm very impressed that you got that all in the right order. That's right. But what I'm talking about is that, you know, a sponge soaks up water, right? And your brains soak up knowledge, information, experience. When you look at the television or the screen or the telephone, whatever's there, you soak it up and your mind gets that. And then you can become an aerobics teacher. Do that. That's important stuff. But then later, whatever you soak up in your mind, guess what happens to that? It comes out. It comes out of your mouth. It comes out in your actions, what you do. So what I'm saying is you've got to put good stuff in your brain if you want good stuff to come out of your brain. Okay, now I heard a child telling a story, and I know it wasn't a true story, but it's funny, and I'm going to tell it anyway. So this child, he loved to play games, computer games. Anybody ever play a computer game? Yeah, he loved to play computer games. And he listened to his mom and dad because they put rules down what games you can play and what games you can't play. And so he was pretty good about that. And then one day his friend invited him over to his house, and his friend had a game that he wasn't really supposed to play, but his friend wanted to play, so they played it anyway. And what he found out was that the game was very violent. And they were like two people fighting each other, and it was violent and scary. But he liked it. And he thought, I like that. So every time his friend invited him to come over, he thought, I'd like to go over and play that. And he did, regularly. He went over to his friend's house and he played that game oftentimes. And the more he played it, the better he got at it. And he went further into the game, and he was taking one side and fighting against the other side, and he found out that when the other side is losing and he was winning, a voice would come out of the game, and the voice would say, finish him. Like, finish him off, right? And then one day he was with his mom, and they went to the grocery store. And while they were at the grocery store, they went to the vegetable section and the fruit section, and there was like a big area of watermelons. And they were stacked up in a pyramid. Just at the moment they were walking past the watermelons, one of the watermelons broke loose from the pyramid. It started rolling down the pyramid. And he looked at that watermelon, and he heard that voice in his head that said, "Finish him." And you know what he did? He took his hand and he punched that watermelon, and his hand went all the way into the watermelon. And his mom looked at him and she said, "What did you say?" And he had to tell his mom he'd been playing this game that taught him to be violent. Yep, it came out. Because what he put in his little mind stayed there until the appropriate time, and then it came out. That's why the Bible tells us to have the mind of Christ. Put into your mind the words of Jesus, and a good life will come out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our young people. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help our young people grow with the mind of Christ. Amen. That you can go to the junior church. Don't forget to give Maddie a hug.
Yep, I already did.
Thank you.
sing together? Rescue the parachute.
Think for a minute. The
potter, who's the potter? The potter is God. And the clay, we're the clay. Imagine the potter becoming clay. That's what Jesus did. He became one of us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that the grace of God might be, that he might, by the grace of God, that he might taste death for all of us." So Christ was made lower. And I think it's important to say that the scripture that was just read, that Tom read for us this morning, is really one of those key Bible passages that talk about who Jesus Christ was. It says that he was God, he was human being. He didn't set aside his deity when he became a human being. He is fully human, fully God at the same time. So when the scripture says he emptied himself, it doesn't mean he stopped being God. He became God and man, and still is. So that's the nice thing about it when you think that right now at this very moment, seated on the throne of heaven, is a representative of all of us. Jesus Christ, a human being, as well as God. And then Paul goes a step further in 1 Corinthians. He says in chapter 2, verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So we're not to instruct God and tell God what to do, but the mind of Christ. Now, whether that means we possess the mind of Christ and we just need to apply it in our daily lives, or we don't possess the mind of Christ and we need to obtain it, it really doesn't matter whichever way you look at that. We need the mind of Christ in our lives. And so I've written down a few principles that can be applied to this idea of having the mind of Christ. The first one is acting with new goals. We should be acting with new goals, not our goals. Scripture says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition," and that's found in verse 3 of our text today. But then if you look a little further down in verse 5, it says that Jesus was God, but did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. So I see those as parallel. One is about us. One is about the example of examples. Jesus Christ, the great example. He was God. And yet he didn't go around boasting that he's God. He didn't go around expecting the privileges that God has. And he didn't. He did a lot of miracles, but he didn't go around doing the amazing, powerful things that God can do at any time, whenever he wants to. He did nothing from selfish ambition. And that's what Paul is asking us to do here, to do nothing from selfish ambition. And, you know, as you go through this passage, you start reading these things, you start saying, that's not the way we're put together. We do things out of selfish ambition. We have goals, we have achievements we want to reach. We live in a world and we are convinced that we have to look out for ourselves. So how do you reconcile those kind of normal, everyday way of living that we have with what Paul's saying here? As we get into this, I think it should become clear to us that what Paul is suggesting, or is not even suggesting, what Paul is telling us how to live our lives is radically different than what we consider to be a normal way of living. This way corresponds to Christ's way. If anyone wants to make disciples or even be a disciple, they must not act selfishly. Because selfish actions don't bring about the fruit of discipleship in our own lives or in the lives of the people we may have the privilege to influence. So we need to act with new goals. Well, what kind of goals? Act with the goals that Christ had. Because we're talking about having the mind of Christ. And it's like putting his mind into us and living according to the way he lived. That's why we started out with the idea of discipleship. Jesus is calling us to be disciples. And the person who is a disciple of Jesus Christ is ultimately going to produce the fruit that Jesus produced. And that is, souls will come to God and be redeemed and live in heaven forever. I think last week I mentioned how joyful Paul, the Apostle Paul, must be as he is in paradise even now, watching people come through the portal of paradise. And just imagine the joy that Paul has when he sees people come through and he realizes Christ used me to write those letters in the New Testament, and they found benefit, and they found their way to heaven by believing in Christ through those letters that I wrote. So the first of the principles is to act with new goals, and those new goals specifically are God's goals. Secondly, pay attention and give respect to other people, rooted in humility. Rooted in humility. A life of humility. This brings us back to the Beatitudes, where blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. As we take on a life of humility in regard to other people, thinking them better than ourselves now. Who does that? That is not natural. It's not normal for us to pay attention to other people, respect them out of humility. But yet Jesus emptied himself. He could have been full of himself, but he wasn't. He emptied himself. In fact, he tried often to get people to not talk about the wonderful miracles he was doing in their lives, because he knew that if they did, that he would become too popular and they would want an earthly type of a king instead of the suffering Savior that Jesus intended to be. No, to pay attention and to respect other people out of humility puts other people up. It's the natural tendency for all of us is to be above somebody else. We love to hear news about ourselves. We love to talk about our experiences. We love to talk about the places we've been, the things we've seen. And we love to, when someone else starts telling a story, we want to tell our story. That's the normal way of human life. But Jesus is saying, that's not going to get you the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is to humble ourselves so that you can lift somebody else up. Why not make that a goal? To lift somebody else up each day. Wonderful goal. The third principle, arousing your concern for the interests of others. It's in the same vein of that approach of humility. In verse 4, Paul writes, look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And then in verse 7, we see Jesus' example. Jesus took the form of a slave. Now I'm sure you're going to say the pastor's lost it. Who wants to take the form of a slave? Especially in our generation where racism is such a major topic in all the political discussions. You know, racism focuses on that issue of slavery that happened so long ago in our country. But Jesus took the form of a slave. This, again, is not natural for us. To follow Christ requires us to do things that are not natural. The way of Jesus Christ is not the natural way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, for though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all. Why? Paul says, so that I might win more of them. Paul tells us a very applicable truth here, that Paul made himself a slave to all people so that by that action he might get their attention and they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so this act of lowering ourselves below somebody else, lifting them up, doing what they want us to do, gives us a platform to talk about Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need a platform to express our testimony, to talk about Jesus Christ, to serve people so that they'll say, why are they doing this? What's different about that person? They're different because they know Jesus Christ. So it goes against our typical way of thinking. Paul humbled himself to the point of putting the will of others above his own in order to win them to Jesus. So that's arousing the concern for other people, for their interests. And then to be aware of the world around you. Now, most of us sitting here would probably say, I'm aware of the world around me. I'm up on the news. I know what's going on in the world. Jesus was aware of the world around him in a more comprehensive and more thorough way than what we're familiar with. Again, we have to get back to this idea of let the mind of Christ be in you. What kind of mind is in Christ Jesus? Imagine for a moment, in all of his divine splendor and glory, he decided to stoop down to become clay. It's hard to fathom, actually, for me. It's very hard to fathom that the God who created everything would become clay. But he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This very God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who rules everything. The best way that I can think about this is through the word holy. And I know the word holy is defined differently by different people, but I'm using a biblical definition for the word holy. A definition that describes who God is, because it is the only word in all of Scripture that is repeated threefold to explain who God is. Holy, holy, holy. That word holy basically means other, not me, not you, other, different, beyond us. For God to be other means he's not part of creation. Never was, never will be. He's outside of creation. There are three dimensions in all of existence. One of the dimensions is the one we live in. This is the physical, the material dimension. You have the earth and you have the universe. That's the physical dimension. And then you have the spiritual dimension. Okay, that's where the angels, the heavenly creatures, the cherubim, the seraphim, that's the spiritual level, spiritual area. And then there's another dimension. That's the holy dimension. There's only one in the holy dimension. Angels aren't there. Only God is there. That's his dimension. Why? Because he's the creator and everything else is created. And if you picture God from that perspective, you see that he is truly outside of us. He's other. And that very God came in. He came into our realm. And he not only did that, he did all the things that are listed in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself, became obedient as a slave, died on the cross for you and for me. Can we do that for someone else? That's what Paul's asking us to do. He's asking us to do that. Now, this is where I have to say, this is one of my great joys of preaching to our congregation. Because I know that most of us will sit here and say, put in my time. Right? I did all that. You know, I hit 65, 70, a long time ago, right? I'm ready to sit back and just enjoy worship. And this is where I'd like to say to you, some of the greatest prayers that were ever prayed were prayed by senior citizens. Some of the greatest, most powerful prayers Moses ever prayed didn't even happen until he was over 100. And the greatest ministry for every Christian is the ministry of prayer. That's why I tell people unashamedly, I think the most important ministries in our church are the Saturday morning men's group and the Tuesday afternoon prayer team. Because this is where we focus on prayer. It's prayer. And nothing in this earth, nothing of value ever happens unless it has first happened in prayer. Now, you might disagree with that, but I'm talking about a level of value that's divine. Okay? According to God's will, it happens first in prayer because God moves people to pray and then he answers those prayers and he brings about his revealed will in the earth. Think about it. The value of prayer, the mind of Christ. When we pray, I mean, we're praying for God's kingdom to come, we're praying for his will to be done. This is the mind of Christ. And Jesus put it in a prayer. So we have to be aware of the world around us. The world around us, even though it doesn't look this way, it's very dark. We look at springtime, the beautiful sun, and the flowers, and all the new growth, and the starting of a whole new summer, and we think it's beautiful. And it is. But in comparison, with the brightness of Christ in heaven, it's dark. That may be hard to comprehend, but that's the reality. The world is cloaked in darkness. And for the light of Christ to shine in any individual person's lives requires the light to shine through us first so that other people can see the light. We have to be aware of the world. The world is in desperate need of a Savior. We can't just live our lives saying, oh well, he, she didn't believe. We have to be concerned about the lost souls. And so we have acting with new goals. We have attention and respect rooted in humility. We have arousing your concern for the interests of other people. We have awareness of the world around you. And lastly, adore God. That's what Paul ends with. And it's pretty shocking, actually. All of these things that Jesus did that are unnatural for us, we think, why would I ever do that? Why would I ever treat myself like a slave in respect to other people? Well, you have to look at the whole story. How did it end? What's the end result of that story? God highly exalted him. He gave him the name above all names. So whenever we're going about our life's business, whatever that is, or our retirement business, whatever that is, as we're going about our daily routines, maybe this is a question we might want to ask ourselves. What is the end result of what I'm doing? Will it help somebody else on this earth? That's good. Will it change eternity? That's really good. Will it cause me to be exalted to where Jesus is so that I can walk with him? There it is. That's the best. Everyone will bend the knee to him and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the scariest verse, I think, in this whole passage. That every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That means the believers. Everyone will acknowledge Christ as Lord. It includes believers and non-believers. It even includes those who said they believed but didn't. And it includes those who said they didn't believe and they would never acknowledge him. They will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. There are those who will say, religion is for weaklings. Christian faith is false. There is no God. I will never acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They will. When this life is over, they don't get to hide from God. You can't hide from God. He created all of us. And we will all acknowledge that he is Lord. And it includes those who said they believe, but weren't too sure about themselves. And I think, personally, in the churches across the land and around the world, there's a lot of people in our churches who believe. They believe Christ died for their sins. They believe Christ rose from the dead. And they're going to heaven. They will see Jesus face to face and they will rejoice in his presence. But yet their faith is not strong. They're not sure. If you ask them, are you sure you're going to go to heaven? They might say, well, I hope so. They're going to heaven. I know that for sure. Sounds a little strange, but the book of 1 John chapter 5 tells us, John wrote, he says, I'm writing this to you who believe so that you may know that you have eternal life. This assurance, this firm knowledge of eternal life is a gift we have to ask for and we have to pursue it. And it enhances the Christian life in unbelievably joyful ways to know for sure that you're walking with Christ today. But there are a lot of us who are, you know, we believe it's true. We believe Christ saved us from our sins, but we can't really pinpoint our absolute assurance that we're walking with him today. So if you do believe, but you're not too sure of yourself, keep asking. Keep seeking. And if you're assured of yourself, pray that others may become. and sure of themselves. Because to have the mind of Christ is to be a reflection of Christ, to be an example who has learned from the example. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Speak to us now and as we go on with our lives. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask the ushers if you'll come for the morning offering.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Amen.